Hello, friends. On today's show, a double dutcher finds a new way to use a skill, some Dutch parks help make kids risky again, a wedding ring is found, and a Bible-loving person strikes it big. Jessica, please give us the intro.
We all need that one friend, don't we? The one that, no matter how crazy things get around us, always has some good news to share? Hey, what if you had two friends like that? That's twice the good times. On the rocks, not for long, because everything sounds better when you're two beers in. Now, here are your hosts, Brett Weaver and Monica Ballard.
Hey, don't bring your marriage problems
in. Yeah.
Right. Sorry, baby, I hit the wrong knob. No, you didn't.
Hey, I'm willing to try new things.
Hang on, let me make a note of that.
Sorry, I have a chart.
I've got some glow-in-the-dark paint.
For once, I have a spreadsheet.
Can I mark it for later?
Mike, what is it? Customer satisfaction. What is this called? C.
QR? Oh, no, wait, no.
Survey?
QC.
Customer satisfaction.
Quotient.
We call it a CS something, and of course it's no longer funny.
It's a TPS report.
That's right. Speaking of TPS reports, you are listening to Two Beers In, which is a wonderful place where we consume alcohol and wish Doug a happy birthday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Happy birthday to you. There you go.
But I don't get the birthday dirge?
Nope. You only get that part because we don't have enough time.
Doug. Okay.
We would have put a candle on your hot dog.
I mean, you don't have enough time.
Yeah, probably not. Oh, did you see my coronary evaluation? Yeah, is that what's going on?
Yeah, you came back. Remember, you showed it. See, you don't even remember you showed it to me. Poor Doug.
Oh, getting on up there.
Honey.
I have a feeling I saw a different one than you did. Thankfully.
Hello, I am one of your hosts, Brett Weaver. And as is no surprise by the way I've been talking, I first enjoyed a shot of Old Granddad, and now I'm enjoying a Coors Banquet beer.
That's not Old Granddad's not a drink. That's just how you're making money these days.
Yeah, I am Old Granddad.
You enjoyed Old Granddad.
Yes, yeah. If you know what I mean.
Like, got to make money somehow.
I have a new job.
There is a motel right next door.
It is of ill repute as well. It is also by the hour.
I don't doubt that. Hey, I'm Monica, your co-host. What am I having? I'm having a Native Texan.
Pilsner.
Pilsner.
Thank you.
It's a little on the watery side.
It's a beer. It's definitely a beer.
It's a beer. It's a notch above Lone Star.
The can is very similar to Lone Star.
Okay.
And so there's Doug over there.
And I knew that beer because that's what I'm having.
Yep, there we go. Hey. So we are, as a change, we're starting just to travel to other places. We're at the Silver Medal off of 290. Where they say we're almost the best, or we're second best.
Second best. We came in second.
We came in second, and we're okay with that. Doug and I actually ate here once before when it was El Churrito Mexican restaurant years ago.
Which, interestingly, they still have the sign up for it.
In the back.
In the back.
Just in case.
Well, every time I order enchiladas, they stare at me funny now.
So you're going to eat that hot dog?
It's sort of a...
Absolutely.
On mic.
Oh, yeah. You sat there and stared at me. I'm going to munch on down.
That sign is sort of an homage to the old place.
That's what I'm saying.
Sort of like the Poodle Dog Lounge sign in...
Yes. At the Aristocrat.
At the Aristocrat.
Yeah, I think there's maybe there's a Franz sign somewhere over at Busty's.
So you're saying we only go to places that can't get over who they used to be?
Exactly.
All right.
The song that keeps playing is Somebody I Used to
Know.
Yeah, that's right. So we're at the Silver Medal out on 290. Great place. We're out on the back patio because the inside was just a little bit small. And, you know, we wanted to make sure. What are you looking at?
Well, for some reason, my phone pulled up a website for TexasArtAsylum.com. I have no idea why that would be.
Texas Art Asylum.
I don't know.
I have to paint. I must paint. Oh, you've met my wife. Okay.
I think I can make a living at this. Oh, you poor soul. Come this way.
Yeah, there we go. We've got some stories to share with you today as Doug eats his chili dogs. His multiple chili dogs. Are they good?
They are.
They're really good. Okay.
Wasn't going to wait for an hour for them to cool down, though.
No.
I'm on.
Did you get the link?
No. Yes, I did. But yes. I'm also on Grandpa's Aint.
Yes.
Wi-Fi.
Grandpa's Aint is my mobile.
Man, you're really working this grandpa over for his money.
It used to be before I worked at a church, my mobile connection was Grandpa's Taint. And then I realized that people would see it and they would have questions and they would probably know immediately that it's me.
Yeah.
And so I switched it to Grandpa's Aint.
Yeah, we got one in my complex called Two Girls in the Land.
Yeah, there we go.
And I always wonder if they explained that to their parents.
Nope. We are going to start. We've got four stories for you that we're going to start talking about. And we actually have a fun story for the song at the end as well.
Yeah, we do.
We will decide whether we've taken too long and need to take it over to the Patreon or we'll actually talk about it.
Okay.
We'll see. So let's start with the world record jump roper uses his double dutch jump ropes to save teen in an icy pond. So you think, Doug, many times you make fun of people for having non-marketable skills. Well, in this case, it just so happened to save someone's life.
I haven't had a job in 13 years. Obviously, I don't know anything about marketable skills.
Exactly. So a famous jump roper recently saved a young man from drowning after falling through the ice on a frozen lake by using his jump ropes. I mean, that's the end.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, what's the next story?
Okay, next.
Yeah. So during the 80s, 90s, and thousands and aughts, David Fisher became so famous for jumping rope that he authorized a pair of children's superhero books in which he was portrayed as the rope warrior, which is kink areas.
Yeah,
that's a different thing.
That's a different vibe.
So he battles aliens by jumping rope so fast he creates a force field around himself.
Wow.
It's like nunchucks, but with jump rope.
I guess so.
Yeah, that's right. Used to performing for groups at schools and sporting events, Fisher never imagined getting the chance to be a real hero of any kind. So it was in mid-December near his home in Indiana. His son was getting ready to drive to university, and he heard what sounded like two people arguing. And it was a woman and her teenage son. They were trying to get the dog who was on ice. But then suddenly the son heard screaming and shrieks of alarm. So Felix called 911 while the 61-year-old Fisher instinctively grabbed his jump ropes.
And started entertaining
as him. You do. And he ran out to the lake, leaving one on the shore for Felix to use and taking another with him out onto the ice. So his cast fell short, but the teen had strength yet to swim a few feet and grab the end of the jump rope. Hauling him up onto the ice, he collapsed by standing up too quickly, and on a second attempt, he remained on his belly until he was well clear of the breach. It was kind of like an Indiana Jones with the whip thing, Fisher told the Post. And so in my head, there have always been different scenarios where a rope could be used to defend or save someone. You know, because maybe he also had dysentery, and instead of shooting the kid, he used the rope.
Yeah.
As you do.
Okay.
So typically, the tool it being wheeled around his body at high speeds during a career in performance has seen him perform. So it's a lot of Tell you more about who this
padding,
guy's
padding,
done.
Padding, padding, padding.
And they include a little video there of amazing jump rope performance, which I'm, and that's him.
Yep, yep. Okay. While the rope warrior who battles aliens may be a fiction, the real rope warrior was recognized for his rescue by the mayor, who presented Fisher and Felix with the Life-Saving Citizen Award.
But don't worry, Marvel has picked it up on an auction.
Yep.
He'll be out this fall.
He'll be performing with Squirrel Girl.
Da-na-na-na-na. Name. Oh.
The Rope Warrior and Squirrel Girl.
Squirrel Girl.
Okay.
And
I think I've seen that video, but it's not on the website you think.
I would like to say, though, that Squirrel Girl is an underrated, is an underrated hero.
Squirrel Girl's like Deadpool.
It's really good.
Started
really
as a good. Joke, and it ended up much funnier.
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of Double Dutch.
Uh-oh. We're going into our swapping one?
I don't know. Are we going Dutch on this?
Well, I would like to say it because I feel like it really relates to my generation.
Okay.
So the Dutch are bringing back risky play-in parks where kids climb, sword fight with sticks, and build with hammers.
So Ren Faire.
Yeah. Parts of Dutch society are campaigning to bring risky playgrounds, with like lots of
sharp edges,
lots of predators,
tetanus.
No, that's bad. Back into their cities and towns as concerns about too much time spending indoors, helicopter parenting, and childhood diabetes. Believe it or not.
Okay.
Yeah, if you have to run for your life, you don't get the diabetes.
Right.
Yeah.
Some are merely advocating playgrounds with potentially dangerous toys, such as merry-go-rounds, but others are seeking places for their children to start fires, build with hammers, and play fight with sticks. You know, because, well, I can't even say that now. Because I was going to say, you know, all kids play with sticks. It's like, you know what? That's probably not necessarily true anymore.
I think the title of this is actually Future Regret. I think that what the
totally
eventual
disagree.
Result...
I totally disagree.
Nope.
Well, he's good at starting fires. Now where are we going to live?
I totally disagree. Because, well, I mean, there's a whole thing that talks about how they're saying we want kids to be able to do more risky things because that's needed.
Yeah, wrapping them up in bubble wrap. Yeah.
And then I turn...
Arresting people for letting kids go to the store.
What's really funny is today... My sister Simone sent me a picture of Tomball. There was a climbing up rocket that's made with the wire, or it's
the old steel rocket playground.
There's a slide. There's the metal slide that comes down from it. And she goes, "Do you remember this?" And I was like, "Bear Creek Park." And she said, "Yep, I fell off of one of those, but." But I'm fine now.
But that explains a lot.
My point is, I think of all the things that, as kids, that I used to do, and I know Doug lived in Houston as well, so I'm sure he did some of it.
Oh, my God, I did a lot.
Where you go to these playgrounds, and I mean, and I'll admit, I think about now going, how did we not die? But because we figured it out. Think about Allen's Landing. Well, I don't know if you know Allen's Landing, which is on Buffalo Bayou, close to downtown. So there's a famous kids park that was there. Do you remember that park?
Nope.
Because they had there was a hill, there was like a thing you could slide down.
I take it back. I saw the park from the car, never got to it.
Yeah, Wa Drive. It's off of Wa. Yeah, Wa and so this park had like almost a semi fort built around it, made out of used railway ties,
okay.
Railroad ties,
yeah.
The wood ones.
Yes.
So they're
splinter heaven.
Every
sure.
kind of splinter
yes.
that you get, and they were different levels, so you could jump up and down on the thing. And also, we would get cardboard boxes and open them up, and then slide down the hill. And the only stop was that wooden wall that was going on. I didn't die, you know, but
a couple of chipped teeth later, you're a man.
Two, like 18 foot high swings that you could swing and then jump off.
Oh yeah.
And no, there was not wood chips or sand on
oh,
the ground.
No, no.
It was supposed to be grass, but the grass was gone by that point.
Oh sure.
But you know, flattened down by feet and blood. So
yeah, you remember those steel rocket chips? I used to climb the outside of them.
Yes.
That was not good, and people, when they caught me, would yell at me.
So now I'm kind of, yes, dear listener, I am leaning into my Gen X all that I possibly can. Because I do think that there's something missing on kids occasionally getting hurt. And,
oh, yeah.
And you learn. You learn. So I mean, I was cooking at 5 years old. I would cross the four-lane street to get cigarettes for my mom. At 6 years old, and I think now of how that would never happen now.
Oh yeah,
but it's part of who I am, you know.
Our backyard swing set was not totally in the ground,
so it would rock.
So it would rock with you.
It would rock with us, and I would go as high as I could on that thing and jump off.
Yes.
I used to have a Mighty Mouse t-shirt with a little cape on the back.
Yes.
I love to see that thing flutter.
Sure.
And so the only way to do that.
Get up high.
Get up high.
And
either climb a tree or jump off that swing
right.
set. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I chopped off the tip of this finger here on one of those swing sets. Boy, did that hurt.
So what we're saying is I'm in agreement.
Injure your kids.
I'm in agreement of this, that there should be stuff where, I mean, it's sad that kids can't just go outside and play anymore. I do think about the times of...
Are they not allowed to go outside and play anymore?
No, not really. You will never hear a parent say, go outside and don't come back in until dark.
Right.
Which
when
is
the street
what
lights
my,
goes on.
Which is what my mom
That's
would say.
What
yeah.
my
She's
mom
like,
said.
I need, you know, for a while the rule was, if I yell for you, you better come.
Yeah,
we had the captain spell that would go off when they wanted us to come home.
And it was rain or shine.
Yes.
Back in my day.
Yes.
You went out and you played in the rain.
Yes.
You put your little slickers on, your boots, and you made a paper boat, and you watched it go down the sewer, and then a clown would talk to you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I love how they call it roughy tufty.
Roughy tufty.
Roughy tufty playing means children might get a bump or a cut.
Yep.
Yep.
So my friend Blake lives in Amsterdam, and he has a 5-year-old son now. I think he's 5 years old now.
All right.
Maybe six. I would like to reach out to him and say so, because he's from Louisiana. He's just like me. He's from Louisiana. He's younger, but he's from Louisiana.
Do you let him play with rusty metal yet?
So does your son get all roughy-tufty?
That's right.
And then he'll be like, never call me again.
How did you know my safe word?
Yeah.
In the form of Wursta Weston or Wild West.
Yes.
In this radical play space, kids can go fishing, climb trees, build huts, start and cook with open fires.
Sure.
And play with real tools like hammers and knives, all in the name of helping them develop the mental, physical coordination that an adult relies on to navigate potentially dangerous situations.
I think it's a great idea.
I got to go along with you on that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that back in the day, there were more kids, and therefore, if a couple went missing, they weren't as worried.
I am the youngest of five.
Yeah.
But.
No wonder she sent you across 4 lanes of traffic
like,
to get cigarettes.
Girl, get me cigarettes.
Yeah,
yes.
Right.
I need them. Mama needs her smokes.
Yeah, I need. No, it was always the same thing. It was, I need a pack of Territons.
Oh, my mom smoked Territons.
Yeah, a pack of Territons. Get me a legs egg. In nude.
Wet sandal toe or reinforced toe?
I don't. For that. You can't. I was six.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Get me
she got
some.
What you got.
Get me some Tampax Heavy Flow and a cup of coffee. And they better make sure that they made a fresh pot of coffee. Go to the 7-Eleven. You can sit and read Casper the Friendly Ghost or Richie Rich while you wait, and you can get one piece of candy. So that's, can you tell that had an impact on me?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's 52 years
yep.
ago.
And his safe word is Richie Rich.
Richie Rich, yep. That's right. No, Cadbury.
Cadbury. Is that the butler?
The butler.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, my God. I can't believe I pulled that out. Oh, my God. I can't believe I remembered that.
Go on Heaton's show because he wants to talk about science fiction. I'm like, can we talk about Richie Rich?
Yeah, right. Okay? Ejected.
Monica, why don't you take the next one?
I certainly will. So when Chris Brightmore and his wife visited his family in Dubai, he decided to enjoy a swim at Kite Beach. When we emerged from the water, this is badly written.
Yes.
He looked at his left hand and noticed his wedding ring was missing. A ring that was on his finger for 51 years had slipped off.
Man, panicked. That's what he says.
Yeah. Immediately, Chris dove back into the sea to search for the ring underwater. After sifting through the sand, he still couldn't find it. I said a little prayer while I was swimming around. For some reason, I said to myself, I'm going to find this ring. Plot twist, he did not find the ring.
He never found the ring.
That was a good story. All right, what's the next one?
The ring was found, but not by him.
Not by him.
Okay. So he got an answer to his prayer, but God had other plans. God laughed. She laughed. Okay.
He's divorced.
So they didn't have any snorkels or any equipment to help them. They had all been given up until Chris's son-in-law, Philip, suggested they post their story to British dads in Dubai.
Oh. It's a swingers.
Yeah.
Asking for help that could be provided. And the community not only listened, but stepped up. Among the dozens of kindly responses, one man offered to loan us his underwater metal detector, and another said he had his own jewelry shop and he would make me a replacement as close to the original as possible, and because of the intensely sentimental value, he would give it to Chris for free.
Yeah, it's 6 diamonds in it. It was made from platinum.
It had the Hope Diamond in it.
Yes, yeah. So out of all the responses, Chris humbly accepted the offer to use the person's metal detector. And so the hunt was on. After 2 hours, he and his wife still couldn't find it, and they couldn't stay under water long enough to do a thorough search. And they were sort of crying about that when a gentleman swam up and said, if Chris was the guy who lost his wedding ring. And he turned out to be a professional diver and used the underwater metal detector. And after 2 hours more of searching, under 10 feet of water and under 3 inches of sand, Chris's new diver friend, Adam Whitehead, emerged from the water with the ring tightly gripped in his gloved fingers.
Sure.
It was a miracle in the Persian Gulf.
If that was the
Chris.
That's the only miracle that has ever happened
in
the Persian Gulf.
It's like, that's why we set it. We set it aside for Chris from London.
And or the guy just remade the thing and threw it in.
He's like, you know what? Can I lose the ring and just say world peace, please?
Yeah.
Aside from this being a unique lost and found story, this is also a reminder to all of us.
Yes.
That if you need a hand, just ask.
Yeah.
And this was a guy. And so I know that's hard. I know it's hard.
This
for
was
guys.
A British guy.
A British guy, yes.
Yes.
Oh, stiff upper lip, all that.
Yes.
What?
And to be clear, it wasn't 2 hours later that they found it. It was 2 days
later.
2 days,
yeah. But.
And 2 hours later.
Yes. Yeah. So
yeah, because Dubai had professional pearl diving is actually how they made their money, you know, 80, 90 years ago.
Before oil
started to be found, yeah. In which case they gave up and drove Ferraris.
You want to take that last one? Or do you want me to take it?
You take that one.
Okay.
And I'll take the song.
So a Virginia woman was tickled to death when she found that a lottery ticket she had slipped in her Bible for safekeeping was a winner.
Tickled to death?
She's dead now.
Because that would be ironic.
Posthumously, Jacqueline Mangus bought the ticket on Christmas Eve, but it wasn't until after New Year's that she saw on the news a ticket from her town in Moneta had won the New Year's Millionaire Raffle. She had bought her ticket at the Lake Mart and Deli and was one of the 5 $1 million winners.
Wow.
I was tickled to death. She is, she said posthumously.
Posthumously, right.
Her ghost appeared and said, I was tickled to death.
Also, the money should go to my cat.
Hey, Bob, check out this death certificate. You'll never believe what this is here.
There's no word as yet regarding how Mangus plans to enjoy her winnings, either as a lump sum or as an annuity. The two typical methods, yeah, great. but one would think there's a hefty donation in waiting for her local church. Or she could say, to hell with God, this was sent to me, I'm just going to go and enjoy my life. But that's not true, because the next day she went straight back to work as a nurse at the in Bedford County.
Oh.
So really what that means is she has fuck you money now.
Yes.
She
yes.
could just say.
It's kind of like, hey, we need bedpans.
No. Hey, can you stay 18 hours?
Yeah.
We're expecting you to stay 18 hours from
it's
now
like,
on.
Nah.
I don't want to do those TPS reports.
Yeah,
like, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Remember when I was tickled to death to win the lottery?
I'm tickled to death leave this place.
I wouldn't say I've been missing the work, Bob.
Yes. You know what would make us tickled to death?
Uh-oh.
Nice.
Is you went to patreon.com/2beersin and subscribe to us to let us know that you exist. That's also a very good thing for us to do because it helps us be able to go to bars like this and wish Doug a happy birthday.
Yes.
Seeing how this is his last one. But what? You know the story. There's all different ways to do it, give to us. You can do it by going to 2beersin at weightlesspod.com. Send us an email. Use that address to go to Venmo or PayPal where the money's not real, and donate to us, and we will gratefully receive it and put it to fairly good use.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't want to make promises we can't keep.
Yeah. One thing, I'm starting to post more on Blue Sky.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to try to get us away from Facebook.
Yes.
Because it's just garbage.
It's becoming more and more. Yep. It's
why? What have you been posting on it?
Yeah. Garbage. I'm letting the algorithm just really steer into the skid.
It's running amok.
Yeah. Amok, amok, amok. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
And now, please, let's talk about the song.
Yes. So, there's a big sporting event happening this weekend.
Yes.
I don't know if we can officially say the name because, you know, the National Football League.
It's a really big football game.
It's a really big football game. It's the,
rhymes with Booper Pole?
It's the last
superb
of the season.
Owl.
It's a superb owl.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And it's taking place in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure why, but this song popped into my head last night driving home from choir rehearsal. And I was like, you know, shit's going down in New Orleans between the Eagles.
The Eagles.
My Eagles.
Sure.
And the Kansas City Chiefs.
Chiefs, yep.
And it reminded me of another battle in New Orleans.
You know what it is?
Well, I mean, it's got to be Whip It since we did the...
That's exactly what it is.
It's Devo's Whip It. We, you know.
Yeah.
So I got to thinking today, just how correct is that song? Because I remember that song. Here's why. 1959.
Wow.
Yeah. I remember that song because my parents had a band, and they sent me down to the cellar with a 45 of this record.
Okay.
To copy down the lyrics. So that they could learn it and sing it in their band.
Okay.
Because it was a huge hit.
Yeah.
Number one song in the U.S.
Number one song, and it was nominated for Grammys both as the country song of the year, and also the song of the year.
Record of the year.
Record of the
year.
Yeah. Crazy.
Pretty amazing. Considering how utterly incorrect.
Ridiculous.
The song is.
Yes.
But let me tell you, as a six-year-old in the cellar, the whole mental image of powdering the behind of an alligator and setting it off
Now I know what it is.
Yeah.
That was very humorous to me.
Yeah. What's also funny about this, as I was reading, like, you remember I sang you back.
Yes.
The lyrics to it, and I was like, but I thought the song was about Camp Cucamonga. And I'm
that was Alan Sherman.
Granada. Yes.
That was Alan Sherman. Camp Granada.
Yes. No, there's Camp Granada, but we're the kids from Camp Cucamonga. The parents have sent us to learn nature's ways.
I don't know that song.
It's the same song.
Oh, is it?
Yes. That's why when
same cadence.
It's exactly, yes.
Oh, wow.
That I was like, well, wait.
That used to be a thing. They would do the cadence, be successful, and they just rearrange the lyrics.
Some of these lyrics are exactly the same.
So I started looking up about this song.
Yes.
And yeah, it was a great turning point in American and world history. The British had not actually recognized the transfer of the Louisiana Territory from France to the U.S., and they were under no obligation, even after a peace treaty, to accept U.S. authority there.
Right.
It would have been very easy and perhaps legally correct to say that Napoleon had no right to transfer the territory without Spain's consent. Had Britain occupied Louisiana instead of returning it to Spain, there was virtually nothing the United States could have done.
Hmm. Isn't that...
Maybe. I mean, if Britain had decided to stick it out and keep on fighting the U.S., I mean, they really kind of wanted to be out.
Right.
Yeah, because by then, I mean, there were all the regimented, you know, lines and things like that.
And we were doing guerrilla warfare.
That's sort of a myth.
It was that way in a couple of running gun battles in Massachusetts at the very beginning of the war, and we just spread it over the entire 9-year war. Okay. And that's a different war. That's the Revolutionary War.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not the War of 1812. Yeah.
Our way of doing shit just ain't working anymore.
Right.
So... Let's just cut and run.
But in this battle, they charged entrenched positions, and that was not a good idea.
Right. Well, let's hear all about it.
All right. So before we listen to that song of, what's the name of the song?
The Battle of New Orleans.
Battle of New Orleans. Before we get to the song, I have been your host, Brett Weaver, and I've enjoyed an old granddad and a...
Yes, he has.
He said thank you. And I finished it off with a Coors Banquet.
Got to get that taste out.
That's how I clear the taste out of my mouth.
I'm your co-host, Monica. I've been enjoying Native Texan.
Which also...
apparently a forgettable beer.
It's a forgettable beer. And our friend Doug here.
I've also been sucking on a Native Texan.
There you go.
Whoa.
I could have said that better.
Happy birthday, Doug.
You celebrate your way.
Listen to this song and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We looked down a river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. They stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton bales and didn't say a thing. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. Old Hickory said we could take them by surprise if we didn't fire muskets till we looked them in the eye. We held our fire till we see their faces well. Then we opened up our squirrel guns and really gave them well. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, they ran through the briars and they ran through the brambles and they ran through the bushes where a rabbit couldn't go. They ran so fast that the hounds couldn't catch them on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We fired our cannon till the barrel melted down. So we grabbed an alligator and we fought another round. We filled his head with cannonballs and powdered his behind. And when we touched the powder off, the gator lost his mind. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run in, on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, they ran through the briars and they ran through the brambles and they ran through the bushes where a rabbit couldn't go. They ran so fast that the hounds couldn't catch them, on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Good news, everyone.